Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 23rd day of October 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Matt Bennett will be here too. He's from Channel Seeds, a farmer and a specialist in the commodity markets and the cash grain. And Windsor, Illinois. And then a bit later in the program, we'll take up the weather forecast and specifically look at South America and the impact delayed planting or the dry weather there has had and may very well have on the safrinha or second crop corn and soybeans. It's important stuff, and we'll do that with Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. I'll also ask you, plead with you, in fact, today to make a phone call to us at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. Some really good reasons to do that, and I've got a bargain for you along the way, too. It all happens during this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. Futures like this. The nearby contract in December corn up 6¾ cents. The settlement price there at 359¾. The March at 373½, up 6½. And the May at 382, up 6 cents. July 389½, up 6¼. December at $4.05¼. Up 6¼ cents. November beans today, 30½ cents. The gain at $9.93¼. January at $10, up 30¼. March at $10.06, up 29½ for the day. And the May futures in the bean pit at $10.12. And they're up 27¾ on the afternoon. Next year's July futures finished up at $10.17½, up 26½, and next year's November at $9.89¾, 15½ cents higher. Bean meal futures up $14.40 at $3.52.40. The bean oil for the afternoon at $32.67, 53 cents higher. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at $169.77½, $1.72½ higher in the October. December at $169.77½. Up $1.67½. Feeder cattle for the day at $240.32½, 87½ cents higher in the October. November $236.70, $1.52½ higher. And the lean hogs at $88.72½ finished $1.02½ lower. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. In the crude oil, $82.12½, $1.60 higher for the afternoon on their trade. Heating oil at $2.49¹. That would be, of course, diesel fuel, and it finished up 2¾ cents. And the gasoline and the RBOB, or the wholesale price, at $2.21, 5¼ cents higher. Natural gas at $3.64¹, $0.03 lower. And ethanol futures for the afternoon in the lead option month at $1.71¹, 6¼ cents lower. The outside markets show the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 16,641 at this time. That's up 216 points. The New York Gold at $1,229 is down $16.50. And the dollar index at 85.95 is up 0.096 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area, mostly cloudy and a high of 61 degrees on a south-southwest wind at about 9 miles an hour. A 20% chance of rainfall after 8 o'clock tonight, Central Time, cloudy and a low of 48, winds out of the southwest at 5 to 7, and then sunny skies tomorrow with a 67-degree high, west-southwest winds at 3 to 7, partly cloudy tomorrow evening at a low of 51. Those winds will stay out of the west-southwest at 6 to 8, and Saturday, sunny skies and 72, west-northwest winds at 7 to 13. They'll gust all the way to 17 miles an hour. Saturday night, clear and 43. Sunday, sunny and 66 degrees. Monday, sunny and 73. Tuesday, a chance of showers, partly sunny otherwise, and 67. And on Wednesday, sunny skies and 59 degrees. We'll take a look at the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour for South America. Important things brewing there. That with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather in Chicago.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Hey, have you dialed in yet with your pledge of financial support to Illinois Public Media? It is public radio for the farming world, and you're part of that world. I hope you have. If you have not, we have some really good reasons to encourage you to support our ag services here. A group of loyal ag friends, you know all of them, have gone together to create a great big ag fund drive for the fall. If we can hear from at least 100 of you this week that mention WILL Ag, we can add $5,250 to our pledge total. That's no small amount, but we need to hear from about 60 more of you, so you need to get on the phone and start calling in at 217-244-9455. Here's the deal. I know that you're looking probably at a third of your income to live off of in the coming year, maybe next year too. I understand that. Just call in. I don't care what you pledge at, 217-244-9455, because $5,250 means a lot to everybody, including the radio station here. And we'd like to thank our friends at AgriGold, Bates Commodities, and Murray Weiss and Associates for helping out, along with the folks at Stuart Peterson, Strategic Farm Marketing, and the Andersons. One other group that helped out was CGB Enterprises down in Mandeville, Louisiana. And on the phone line this Thursday afternoon from there, as always, is Dan Zwicker. He's at that office and joins us. Dan, thanks to your company for helping to support us. We do appreciate that.
Well, actually, that's my money. And I told Dave this morning that all the listeners that feel that my comments have value, I wanted them to match that today. So I want that cash register to start ringing. So they need to pull over at the end of the field and just get on their smartphone and do some pushing, you know.
Yeah, they can do that. That's pretty easy. WillAg.org, and then hit that contribute now button up at the top of the page. We'll go with what you've done over the years and what you've been doing with the cycles in this last 3 or 4 months, because you've managed to peg this one more time. Starting in August, you started to turn, and sure enough, things have really begun to turn a little bit, especially in soybeans. Why did we get the 30-cent rally today?
Well, export demand is what triggered that. We sold nearly 80 million bushels of soybeans last week, so we've got the overall marketing year total sitting at 1.2 billion, or 71% of USDA's goal of 1.7 billion. So that is what really put the fire under the soybeans. And I think we had an awful lot of shorts around, because this is a big harvest week for soybeans, and I think they were all anticipating for some good hedge pressure to come in and knock these soybeans down. And I'm writing my Facebook comments here while I was waiting on you, and my first sentence here is OMG. The grain market closed higher, and the overall fundamental picture of record crops and building ending stocks scenario didn't change.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah, see? Everybody was saying, I can't understand why the market's going up. Fundamentals ain't changed.
Well, the thing is, I wonder, do you suppose the fundamentals haven't changed?
They're changing all the time. They're all short and was bound determined for this thing to go lower. And November beans here are 41 cents up for the week, and within three-quarters of a cent of being 90 cents off their contract low that was posted October 1st. And you've got corn futures are up 12 cents for the week, and they're up basically 42 cents off their October 1st low. And that would tell me that the trend's higher.
Well, you can hope. Here's the thing, Dan. Is it going to stay higher? Do you suppose we can manage?
My cycles say we're going to grind this thing into 15. Now, there's going to be some ups and downs in it. Remember, there's downtrends inside uptrends, you know, major uptrends. But I think we're pulling out of a 30-week cycle low in soybeans and a 40 to 45-week cycle in corn. And I think, depending upon how things go, we're going to have to get through the winter. But I think we could almost, somewhere in here, these lows are going to turn into 39-month cycle lows in soybeans and 5.5-year cycle lows in corn. So I guess I've got to be positive as we go on into 2015.
I don't know whether you can convince many farmers to believe you on this one, Dan.
Well, the last time, I remember back in 1988.
You were going to
and
last
you were
time,
working right? for me. You were working for me.
Yeah, I was.
No, not 1988, but I remember
in 87,
back in 1987 when you were working for me, and I was out in Nebraska, and I was telling corn. I was telling people in 1988 that December corn futures were going to rally to $2.40, and I think corn was probably $1.50 at that time. And I remember people calling up and canceling their subscriptions because they couldn't read that. They just thought I was totally off the wall, and they just wasn't going to be able to read that bullish information. So what happened in 1988? We had a short crop, and corn went to 375, so I missed it by a buck and a quarter. Who knows what the future brings? All the bears want to talk about, this year's record crop. We're going to have a record crop in South America. That's already in the bag, they say. And we're going to have another big crop next year, and we're going to pound these soybeans back down to $6, and we're going to pound this corn down to $3. Well, there's a lot of ifs in that scenario. And the function of the market here is to be at a price level here to discourage production and increase demand. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the bears last year were talking about a 2 billion bushel carry out in corn, and we ended up with a 1.2. And the fact that USDA now is defending their acreage estimates tells me that they're probably really off, and they just don't want to admit it. And I guess we'll see what happens on overall production and what the grain stocks numbers come at us in January. So, like I said, I don't believe anything that comes out of Washington anymore. Whether it's the CDC or whether it's the Labor Department, you know, inflation at 1.5%. Well, it ain't at 1.5% on the stuff that I buy. So we'll see what the final numbers are. And maybe the market is telling us that the crop may not be as big as what everybody says.
Right. Well, I've been reading texts as they come in to me here.
Oh, I'm sure they're just fire.
I think you will find.
I tell you what, my hate tweets, when I talk bullish, the hate tweets go up is so bad. I mean, well, I can imagine what these big name people get that are superstars. I bet you their phone just jams up with hate tweets.
Yeah, actually, you will like this one. So this one is a farmer in Central Illinois, obviously in the midst, in the very middle of the state, that is, and obviously in soybeans today, and worried because the beans that he's in are suffering, I don't know how bad exactly, but from sudden death. And the STS has done a pretty good number on them. Now, given that when you started out at 68 or 70 or 72, you can lose 10 bushels and still have pretty good beans. So I suppose.
Sure.
But that still cuts into the production number in total. So I suppose we have ways to go. And last week on Friday, Dan, when we talked to Ben Pruce at the Anderson's Everly, Iowa facility up near Spencer, he said they were having a normal year, and said the guys were coming in at their APH. Now, that sounded like they were off to me when they were at their APHs, but that's just me. So it'll be interesting to see how things unfold here over the next month or so, for sure.
Oh, I do think so, too. And I think, you know, the market price action tells you that they've already priced in the biggest crop that you can probably put in it. I mean, now, if people's going to tell me that the seasonal lows are not in, well, I got a piece of land down in Texas that raises 200 bushel corn every year. I'll sell them for a bargain price of $5,000 an acre.
All right. Any final word from you?
The only thing I do want, I know WLL Ag Programming struggles with finances. It takes a lot of money to operate that program, and I know it's a big benefit to farmers in the radio listening audience as well as the internet. I don't know where they're all coming in at, but I'll probably bet you got people coming in from at least 25 different states, probably on and off.
Yeah.
And I really want to encourage the people that are listening to me to definitely donate to WLL Ag Programming so we can keep this program going.
Thank you so much, Dan. We appreciate all the work you do. Dan Zwicker, of course, is with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us on this Thursday afternoon, and you can join us, too, at 217-244-9455. You know, we do have a very large listenership on our radio stations. Those include stations across the state of Illinois, both commercial and public. And then on our website as well, many people listen to the program evenings, on the weekends. And if you're one of those, whichever one, please do give us a call, 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support. Do it right now. I like the $120 level, but frankly, I'm looking for 60 of you to call, and I need you to call as soon as possible, whether that's tonight, now, 24 hours a day. You can do it at willag.org. Just hit contribute, and I don't really care what level, but as long as we have 100 of you by the end of the close of this week, and let's make that tomorrow afternoon, Friday, we'll pick up $5,250. And that really does make a big difference. It makes a big dent in our ability to operate the programming over the coming year. So thanks so much in advance. Up next, some good reasons why farmers should take notes from their combine cabs about the weeds in their fields. I'll have more on the reason why. Have you stopped at the end of the field and dialed this number yet? I hope so, but if not, 217-244-9455. Just a gentle reminder. The combine cab is the last opportunity most farmers have to evaluate how well their weed control program worked for the year, and one they should take advantage of, says University of Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager.
And we certainly encourage farmers as they go through the harvest operations to evaluate, you know, each and every field separately to see how well the program that they had used on that particular field actually performed this year.
The weed patches they see in their fields this fall, be it water hemp or Palmer amaranth, velvet leaf, giant ragweed, or any other weed, are a good clue to how well their current herbicide program worked, and more importantly, what they can expect to battle next season.
Very good likelihood that what you see this fall in terms of mature weeds that actually made seed, added that seed back into the seed bank. Very likely those will be some of your dominant weed species again in 2015.
If those species are summer annuals, water hemp, Palmer amaranth, the giant ragweed, then there's very clearly, thinks Aaron Hager, nothing to do this fall. If those weeds are mostly winter annuals, mare's tail, henbend, chickweed, purple dead nettle, those might be worth a fall herbicide application. You know, you can always keep up on what Aaron Hager has to say about weeds on the Bulletin website. Just search the Bulletin, University of Illinois in Google, and you'll find it. Once you get to the Bulletin, you'll find one other item, the online registration for the 2014 Ag Masters Conference. That's scheduled for the 15th and the 16th of December at the iHotel right here in Champaign. It's a Crop Sciences Extension event. AgMasters always begins with a top-notch general session. This year, speakers will cover water protection rules, the new farm bill, and the evolutionary principles related to the development of resistance in insects, plant pathogens, and weeds. Following the general session, those attending the December 15th and 16th AgMasters will choose 8 of the 16 classroom-style sessions. These will cover everything from managing big data to refining herbicide applications, says organizer and University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gregg.
Classes are an hour. That's correct. There are 16 altogether. Participants can sign up for 8 of those sessions. Each session is repeated just once, and so it is, you know, first come, first serve in terms of who is able to get into the sessions that they are most interested in.
Here's a list of the session topics: cover crops, managing big data, refining herbicide application techniques, Palmer amaranth, western corn rootworm, understanding and managing Pythium, methods to reduce nitrogen and phosphorus losses, white mold and soybean production, Fusarium head blight of wheat, use of drones for aerial scouting, advances in corn genetics, management of insects in stored grain, and soybean management with pollinator considerations. Leading the workshops will be speakers from Iowa State, Michigan State, Ohio State, Purdue University, University of Guelph, the University of Illinois, University of Minnesota, University of Nebraska, and the University of Wisconsin. The registration fee for AgMasters is $250 through December the 5th. Enrollment in the specialized sessions is on a first-come, first-served basis. One of the most popular features of this two-day event is the opportunity to interact with instructors from many universities in the small classroom-style sessions. The instructors are encouraged to solicit input and questions from the participants. Registration is online at www.cropsciconferences.com. Search Google for AgMasters, all one word. Have you dialed in just yet? I hope so, at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. It's an important thing to do. Or just go to willag.org, top of the page, and hit contribute now. On the phone line is Matt Bennett. He's at TGM, actually at his farm, I suppose, and harvesting, and sometimes they're located at TGM, but works with Channel Seeds as their market analysis specialist. Thanks for being with us. How are the crops finishing up for you?
Yeah, we're probably in our last couple of days of cutting beans, and we have probably, you know, one of our farms that maybe isn't as productive as some of the other ones, and we're still cutting, you know, 65 bushel beans, so we're pretty happy with that. You know, and we've got a couple of days of corn left, so a lot of places in our area are struggling with some wet ground, and so we're kind of waiting on some of our, as soon as we get done with the beans, we might have to wait a couple, 3 days on our corn. Hopefully miss that shower there next Tuesday, I believe.
And if you have open weather, you'll finish up sometime late next week, early the next, the following week?
You know, we could finish up Tuesday if we could get across the ground, but it just depends. You know, whenever we had so much rain, it's made it pretty tough. So I know a few guys are having to sit.
Agricultural programs
have, you know,
are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
This is Illinois Public Media. Of course, we're talking with Matt Bennett from his farm there in Windsor, Illinois, on the near Effingham. Thanks for being with us this afternoon. You suggested you probably would get pretty close to finishing up, I think, in the next week and a half. What do you think about the marketplace and the rally we had today?
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. Obviously, most people were expecting a fair amount of hedge pressure, as was I. this week. I think whenever you look at the export sales numbers this morning for soybeans, obviously a phenomenal number, and kind of got the market excited. And obviously, a lot of the people that I would think were short going into this week, thinking their hedge pressure was going to drive the market lower, probably had to exit the market as well. So, you know, it's definitely a counter-seasonal type movement, something that we wouldn't necessarily expect. But I probably wouldn't change my opinion that a lot of the guys I'm working with on their overrun on beans, I think it's a nice gift. I'd be marking it right across the scale because I think it's an excellent gift right here in the middle of harvest.
You think the same thing for your corn as well?
I think on corn, probably long term, I'm a little got a little more hope, but I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, how we go moving forward. But a lot of the guys I know and some of the guys that I talk to, depending on what their cash needs are, you know, they might sell a little bit across the scale, but we sure want to re-own it. You know, if we sell some across the scale and then the rest of it, I think storage is probably going to pay off. And everything on the farm, I'd definitely be storing, selling, and carrying, and then maybe buying a cheap doll.
Hey, thanks so much, Matt, for taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd.
Be safe. Matt Bennett, of course, was with Channel Seeds and joins us on this Thursday afternoon to take a look at the marketplace. Dial in now with your financial support if you can at 217-244-9455. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Have you dialed in yet? 217-244-9455, the number to call. I hope so. If not, dial right now or go to willag.org and pledge your financial support. One of the people we talk to each and every week is Mike Tenora at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Mike, let's talk a little bit about the weather in Brazil. It has not been the best for the start of their growing season, especially for planting crops. They're used to working in some dry conditions, but then they get rainfall, and that just hasn't really happened much yet there, right?
It really hasn't. We've seen very little in the way of rainfall across a large portion of Brazil over the last several weeks. Many areas are running 2-inch to 4-inch rainfall deficit so far for the month of October. Last week, we were talking about how it's not that unusual to see dryness at this time of the year, and that's still valid. But usually by now we would start to see more rain in the future. But we're just not seeing the best in the way of rain chances. Remember that in Brazil, it's different than the U.S. and that you need it to rain fairly heavily at the beginning of your growing season in order to increase soil moisture and then allow planting to begin and for germination to occur. That's different because here in the U.S. we have such great soils and we get a lot of rain and snow throughout the winter that we always have some soil moisture in place at the beginning of planting season. But in Brazil, it's a very sandy soil. Their winters are extremely dry, with many areas receiving no rainfall over a 2 to 3 month period. So they must have that first big rain for planting to begin. A lot of these areas have not seen that, and that's why we're seeing corn and soybean planting fall behind schedule. As we go forward, there are a few thunderstorms out there, and those will continue over the next several days. And we need that to continue for the next several weeks in order for planting to pick up. Keep in mind, this is more of a second crop issue than a first crop issue at this point. First crops are planted now. That's the crop that we're talking about. But the later that it takes to plant this crop, the later the second crop will eventually be planted. Because remember, they plant two crops there. So if this crop ends up being harvested, say, 1 month late, that means the second crop will be planted 1 month late. And the problem there is that they have a very sharp end to the rainy season, which is what we're waiting for right now. We want that rainy season to begin. But just as it begins very quickly, it can also end very suddenly, and that usually happens in March or April. If that happens suddenly, right after this second crop is planted, that would then become a significant issue for second planted crops in Brazil. And most of that crop is corn. So that'll be an issue in the spring, not so much right now. But there are things going on, and these issues will linger more than likely for several months.
There is one area, I believe, in Brazil that does plant first crop corn. How is it faring?
Well, South Brazil plants first crop corn. Down there, it's not looking all that bad. We have some dry pockets. We also have a lot of areas that received rain. But Southeast Brazil is also a major first crop corn producer. This is the region that's being hit by major drought. You might have heard something about how their coffee crop is having problems. Their sugar crop is going to start having problems too. And this is also a first crop corn area. Probably 30 to 35% of first crop corn production occurs there, which is around 10 to 15% of total corn production in Brazil. So that's what's happening with corn. Soybeans are not produced that heavily in this southeast Brazil region. So again, we keep talking about corn more than soybeans with this situation down there.
Other places we should check in on, maybe the wheat crop in Australia and the beginning of the planting season, sowing season, I suppose, and Russia as well.
Well, planting in Russia has been taking place for a while now, basically about 1 to 2 months. We haven't seen a whole lot of rainfall there over the last several months, and we would argue that much of the wheat belt is in drought right now. This drought probably includes 30% of their wheat crop, and we would argue that up to 70% is too dry. On top of that, it's turned very cold recently, and that's more than likely stopped growth. This situation is not great for the wheat crop, but wheat is, wheat will go into dormancy now, and then it will become a problem in the spring if there is a problem there. So that'll be something to monitor. A large portion of Australia has been way too dry over the last several months. Now we're adding heat to that crop. The harvesting is beginning, so it would have been a little worse had this heat arrived a few weeks ago. But all in all, we're not looking for the best of crops in Australia, and we would argue that Russia is probably not doing great either.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
Mike Tenora, of course, is with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Have you dialed in yet? Hope so. 217-244-9455 to pledge your financial support to willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.